back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We dubbed it Read the Comments edition of Sabres Live, and we ended up reading more social media comments that first half hour than we have done in a long time, Marty. This is amazing.
So I feel like we have influenced the polls a little bit, because when I said we're getting all wing, all of a sudden now we're getting a few center. 100% healthy center. I think he's a center. Joseph says center. So I think we've influenced the other side to kind of be active now on social media.
Well, we're speaking there about Tage Thompson, and the question lingers thanks to NHL Network and his ranking among the top 20 centers, whether Tage is in fact a center or a winger. I can only tell you this. He had a pretty prolific season against the New York Rangers last year with 5 points in three games. Mm. Buffalo tuned up New York on two out of the three occasions, 6-1 and 8-2. They did have a 3-2 loss sprinkled in, and they will open the season this year at home against the New York Rangers on October the 9th. However, that will not be the Rangers' first game. Their first game will have happened 2 days prior against the Penguins, and then they'll come here, and then they'll go to Pittsburgh. So the Mike Sullivan tour will be in full swing. Wow. With two of the first three Ranger games against his former club. What are the New York Rangers after years of 114, 107, 110 points, and then boom, they went down almost 30 points from that 114 down to 85 last year?
So the Rangers are probably, to me, the most changed look team since the start of last season. You think of in season who they traded. They traded Ryan Lindgren. They traded Jimmy Vesey. They traded Riley Smith. They traded Jacob Trouba. They traded Kaapo Kakko. After the season, they traded Chris Kreider. They traded Keandre Miller. Like, that is eight. Well, I went to seven players that were marquee players, in my opinion.
And fired the coach.
And fired the coach. You're right. And fired the coach. So you've got seven players and a coach that was significant to their team and their success. And the only thing that they technically brought in to replace that is Gavrikov, right? So there's a lot of youth that is going to have to fill in some big shoes with the New York Rangers. When you think of Gabe Perreault and you think of Edstrom and you think of Will Cooley, that's going to have to play up, and Carrick. And so there is Schneider on defense, going to have to play a much bigger role. There is a lot of changes when you look at that roster. They added, you know, JT Miller, which is a big piece in the middle. We were talking about, is JT Miller a center? Because he's not on the top 20 list. So I think JT Miller is a center. I think he should be on the top 20 list. But anyway, they are much different on October 7th than they were last year on October 7th.
So what are they?
They're a playoff team.
Yeah?
They should be. I think that their big problem last year, and that's something that has been following Peter Laviolette now for a few years, is their five-on-five play, their zone, their man-to-man coverage in the defensive zone, the amount of high-danger chances that they give up. It's going to be a completely different-looked Rangers with Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan has more of a zone mentality, a much more defense-first mentality than Peter Laviolette did. The only thing, the reason the Rangers even got the 85 points last year is because Igor Shesterkin saved them on most nights, because they gave up, what they were 30th in high-danger chances against last year at 5-on-5. Like, you're thinking San Jose and Chicago, those teams were like 31st and 32nd, but the Rangers were 30th in high-danger chances against at 5-on-5 last year. Without Shesterkin, they wouldn't have even been close to 85 points and close to a playoff spot.
They've missed and made the playoffs four times in the last 8 years. A qualifying round, a first-round loss, and, of course, two trips to the conference finals. But still, only 50% success rate getting there over the last 8 years, and they're on their fifth coach in 9 years. Does this surprise you?
Yes, it does. Because I feel like the roster is a roster that if I'm a coach, I would like to have that roster and say, I'm going to build it. I'm going to be there for a long time with the Panarin and the Zibanejad and the Lafreniere, who was a first overall pick, and on the back end, and with a goalie like Shesterkin. Usually you get a goalie like Shesterkin, you have the coach stay forever. You get a good goalie, you get a good coach. Look at Winnipeg, right? Winnipeg has had Hellebuck, and they had, you know, Bonus. He retired. So, but he'd still probably be there. Scott Arnold takes over.
They had somebody quit first.
They had Paul Maurice quit. You're right. But Paul Maurice, same thing. Paul Maurice would probably still be there in Winnipeg if he didn't just say,
cupless.
He'd be cupless, maybe. You're right. But, you know, those great coaches, they have longevity because they have a great goalie. Mm-hmm. And New York has had a great goalie. And who did they go? They went from Gerard Gallant to, before that was Quinn. Gallant, yep. They had Laviolette, and now they got Sullivan. Like, I mean, that's a quick turnaround when you look at coaches that have had the luxury of having one of the best in net in Igor Shesterkin.
Okay, speaking of Shesterkin, who will be 30 years of age in December, this is year one at 11.5. We've never seen it before. This big a ticket for a goalie.
Well, luckily for him, Sergei Bobrovsky now dismantled the whole you can't win a cup with a 10 million plus goalie, right? Because it was Carey Price and Bobrovsky, and it was like you can't win the cup with a $10 million goalie. Well, you know what? Bobrovsky did it the last 2 years, and it's fine now. I still have Shesterkin as the best goalie in the National Hockey League. So he's number one. I know Connor Hellebuck won the MVP last year in the Hart and won the Vezina back-to-back years. Vasilevskiy's still in the conversation as one of the best, but I have Shesterkin as number one. And so to me, he's a full value at 11.5, 100%. I would take him at that price tag. I don't care if he's 30 and it's year one of a long-term contract.
I do.
You're worried?
His quality starts percentage has gone down three straight years after his best year ever.
Okay, well, I'm going to...
And last year was troubling at times. I mean, I get
either it. Either was terrible or it was great. That was him last year.
As evidenced by the Sabres season series,
yes.
And the blowouts, right? I mean, I'm with you. I think it might actually come down to, like, if it was one game, I might take Shesterkin right now because I like him as much as you do. But I am concerned about the 286 and the 905 last year, especially, like, if this was a five-year deal, maybe I wouldn't feel this way.
Yeah.
But my goodness, it's an eight-year deal that's starting in his age 30 season.
Okay, so I'll pose this little this or that for you. You mentioned Shesterkin's decline a little bit over the last, you know, couple of seasons. So who are you more worried about? Shesterkin's trend the last few years or Zibanejad's trend the last 4 years? Because Mika Zibanejad went from 81 to 91 and it was like, woohoo, Zibanejad is a top player. Then he went to 72 points and 62 points last year. I'm more concerned about Zibanejad than Shesterkin, but those are the two big questions for the Rangers.
They all go hand in hand based on age. So yep. Zibanejad's 32 and JT Miller's 32. And Miller, it needs to be, you know, like, yes, he had a dip after a massive year in Vancouver. But really, if you lump the last 5 years, you're going to find JT Miller as one of the top scoring players in the NHL. So there's not as much worry for me there. Both Miller and Zibanejad have 5 more years to go on their current deals at 8 or north of 8. Mm-hmm. I think the way I would view Zibanejad, and he is the first name I had on here, so I am as concerned as you. I don't see Zibanejad as a 90-point player again. But I can live with and could have always lived with him being a 75-point player. So his challenge now is to not regress to annually being a 60-point player like he was last year and just move the needle back up. And that part of it's going to come from what do we get from Artemi Panarin in his final year before UFA and all that young depth that we saw such promise from in the form of Will Cooley And Brodzinski was good, I thought, late in the year. And the other, like you say, the draft picks, and who can push and perhaps elevate this group. And how hard is that to do in potentially a more defensive, your words, setup under Mike Sullivan? So there's a lot to measure here with the Rangers, but it's going to be less about individuals and more about the team.
You're right.
Right?
Like, if Zibanejad is 65 points, but the team is 105 points, second in the Metro, and like, I'm like, okay, that's fine because the team's playing better. Mm-hmm. Right. And they maybe there's a different focus. Now, you just mentioned another. So we talked Zibanejad concern. We talked Shesterkin and the big number, the contract, right? And the $11.5 million entering year one at 30 of an 8-year deal. But Artemi Panarin, you mentioned Panarin had a great season last year, 89 points, 37 goals. Could he be a 40 goal scorer? Yes. Could he get 90 plus points? Yes. When or will they give him an extension? When you look at Artemi Panarin, he's 33 years old. So he would be 34 years old, probably still producing at a level where they can pay him $12, $13, $14 million. Mm-hmm. But 34 years old is a dicey little proposition there. So that's
or
a big question.
Or it's not when you look at Ovi and Crosby.
Yeah. And the bread man is a little bit like Sid in the way that he plays, right? Yeah. Like he's a little dirty. He can swing the stick. He's a little thicker than you would think of him when you watch him play. Mm-hmm. But he knows how to find his spots, right? So, but that's the big question now. Well, if you're Chris Drury and the Rangers, are you going to look to extend Artemi Panarin in season, or you're waiting until later in the year, maybe after the year, to do it?
What would he fetch at the deadline?
He would fetch, the conversation around Mitch Marner last year, remember, like Mitch Marner, would he be traded at the deadline? And then there was potentially a Mikko Rantanen deal, right, with Carolina, that Marner said, I don't want to go to Carolina. I understand he didn't want to go anywhere. His wife was pregnant and they were having a baby. Didn't want to have to move in that time. But I think you're looking at Panarin, the same return that a Mitch Marner was going to get last year at the deadline. So you're thinking a top-end player, like a Natchez or a Rantanen or somebody like that, a first-round pick, and potentially a conditional first-rounder. You're looking at three massive pieces.
Mm-hmm. Producer Jeff, quick to clarify, Panarin may be thick, but not as thick as Ovi.
He's not as thick, yeah. Thick or thin. You know, that's the two, this or that and tick or tin are the big French language words spoken in the locker room.
We encourage you to tick with us as we continue along. But most importantly, I knew there was a T factoring in here. The Sabres are joining forces with Topps Friendly Markets to wind down summer. And some exciting things to do here at these Topps locations. And the first event is tonight at Topps on Transit in Lancaster, with future stops coming up on Maple Road in Amherst on the 27th, Orchard Park Road in West Seneca. We've collected a few turkeys there over the years on September 3rd, and Elmwood Avenue in Buffalo on September the 10th. So how it plays out, you go there 4:30 to 7, you can spin a prize wheel for fun giveaways, enter an exclusive sweepstakes for home opener tickets and signed jerseys. And Marty's favorite part, test your skills at the inflatable hockey shot. Visit sabres.com/tour. There's another T word for more details. And you know what one of my favorite birthdays of this day that we'll get to? Toe Blake, next on Sabres Live.